भगवते वासुदेवाय त्वं अव्याक्तगतिर्भुङ्क्ष्वा लोकं कर्म विनिर्मितम् या हि मे प्रतना युक्ता प्रजा नाशं प्रणेष्यसि। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This world is a product of fruitive activities. Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Help by my soldiers. You can kill them without opposition. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word karma vinirmitam means manufactured by fruitive activities. This entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruitive activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nunang pramita kurute vikarma yadindriya pritaya pranauti na sadhu manye yata panoyam asanapi apiklesha asadeham. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad after materialistic activities, and they perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabhadev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we are trying to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and is subjected to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this world, there is no happiness. People are simply engaged, trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanraj thought it wise to kill all the karmis through the agency of Kalakanya, and thus tried to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human being, the human form of life, is ruined. So last few days we're hearing about how this time, Kalakanya, is affecting each and every one of us. And here we're hearing how this world is a product of fruitive activities. We see all around us so many buildings, skyscrapers. We see even in Vrindavan, you know, live eternally here in the Holy Dham, very comfortably, God given, by God's gifts. You can live very comfortably, very peacefully and happily. And there's so many shops available for providing all the necessities and ointments, oils, medicines, whatever you want, all kinds of varieties of food stuff to satisfy the tongue and senses. Go to Loy Bazaar, get the best saris and dhotis and kurtas, latest fashions. Whatever needs we have to decorate the body and make it very comfortable, that's the whole energy of the material world. Industries, business, marketing, advertising, You're driving down the street, now you can't even look at the road because there's billboards everywhere, and you get, you know, end up crashing and making some kind of accident if you're not careful, isn't it? So this is materialistic life. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're so fortunate, we're so blessed that Srila Prabhupada is repeatedly explaining that how, you know, we should utilize our energy and our time, our youth, for serving Krishna. It's amazing how quickly time goes by. As Lakshmi Srinagar Prabhu was saying, and also Sunanda Prabhu before, that just having memories of when you first come and you have so much energy and you can jump really high and dance. I was just watching myself, I could barely, just shuffling around, and I'm seeing devotees dancing so enthusiastically. I'm thinking, that's, you know, that youthful energy is there, and it's actually meant to be used in Krishna's service. But we're bewildered, we're distracted, we're allured, thinking that we can find some happiness in this world. So naturally, boys attracted the girl, girls attracted the boy, and you have family, and after you have family, you have children, and you take care of the children, you work hard all day long. Prabhupada describes how sometimes one gets up early in the morning, travels for 1 hour, 2 hours to go to work, works from 9 to 5 all day, you know, has to go through a lot of endeavor to secure funds to make sure that everyone is comfortable in their family. Well, prior to that, you have to go through education. You know, you've got to go to the school and be, you know, study and work hard and be intimidated by your other co-students. We see sometimes that happens. I remember I brought my son here in 1993. His name is Vishwambar. I brought two Vishwambars. Also the other Vishwambar who chants. And they went to the school, and you study because you want to have a good education. Because with a good education, then you can, you know, you can survive comfortably in this world. You can have all the things that money can buy. With a good education, you can land a good job and, you know, be a respectable person, have a very nice house, nice apartment. And if you have that kind of if you're educated and somewhat wealthy, then you can have a good wife or a good husband. Because, you know, families, they don't want to give their son or daughter to somebody who's not qualified. You know, you have to be somewhat qualified or equal in status in order to, you know, to be married. So this is the material existence, the whole material life, and we're thinking there's happiness there, but actually it's a struggle. It's a great struggle. Because even after the children come, somehow my son did survive Gurukul, and he went through that university. Now he's a policeman. He has to struggle with all the criminal elements. And so I have a grandson, so I'm attached. You know, you're thinking, oh, you know, this is nice. I came back from America, and I'm showing everybody who comes in the office, hey, look at my grandson. You know, he's dancing or doing this and doing that. So naturally, the attachment in this material world is there. And you're thinking, well, this is nice. Then the grandchildren will grow up, and they'll have sons, and they'll become a great grandfather, you know. And in the scripture, in the Vedic culture, it's describing that, okay, according to Varnashram Dharma, if one is religious in following the scriptural teachings, then he works nicely, has a family, has children, abides by the rules and regulations of scripture. But at a certain stage, a certain point, one should actually focus his attention, full attention. It's not that during the family life you're completely in Maya. You know, Prabhupada, he was showing us by his personal example that he had a business, he had a family, but he was always dedicated to his spiritual teaching, spiritual master, and worked very hard to help propagate Krishna consciousness. And when the time was right, he fully dedicated all his time and energy to saving all the conditioned souls. Not only in India and America, Jagat Guru, because actually by his endeavors, he's liberating the entire universe by this chanting of the Lord's holy name. So one should not simply be satisfied with staying in a family situation, although one is responsible. It's not that we irresponsibly neglect or think that, well, let me, you know, have a family, have many children, then whatever happens to them, happens to them. I'm off with my bead bag and my, you know, to chant Hare Krishna. No, we have to take responsibilities. That's why it's recommended that if one can, you know, be brahmachari, stay brahmachari, and practice that austerity, he gains great strength, he gains knowledge, the jnana vairagya. Because without jnana, without knowledge, it's very difficult to be renounced. But there may come a time, as we see in many devotees, they, get married. But at least we have the foundation in the family of Krishna consciousness. We should stay in the family of Krishna consciousness and stay enthusiastic and dedicated to Krishna. Because otherwise, we're all going to be attacked imperceptibly. We may not notice how we're getting older day by day. Every rising of the sun is stealing the life. Everyone's life. And the energy is getting less and less. And here, Kalakanya is given permission to kill them all without opposition. Who will oppose death? Oh, death, you're not allowed to come to me. You know, I don't want to die. People don't want to die because they're fearful. Isn't it that the old age, in materialistic existence, old age, invalidity, is a fearful condition? There's descriptions that when one, on the deathbed, falls into coma and his mucus is, you know, choking his throat, he wants to say something to his beloved family members, but he cannot speak, he's just gurgling, and all the relatives are sitting around. And sometimes the person lives too long, they're thinking, when will the old man just die, for God's sake? You know, I mean, you know, we gotta work so hard to take care of him, and I'm really broke, I really need to get his inheritance right away, you know, it's like really just lingering on forever. And no, seriously, they put him in old folks' homes, and you become a burden. You're no longer the breadwinner, you're not working, and you're no longer respected as the person who is their provider. You know, you provided nice vehicles, nice house. There's always they got a credit card. They can always go to the health food store or wherever they go and buy all the most expensive and nice, luxurious things so they could be happy. But if you decide that now I'm going to take up my spiritual life more seriously, oh, what have you done? You know, you have to continue working. You know, we have so many needs. How will I maintain the family without you working? And it's a difficult situation because, you know, we are attached and we want to have, you know, out of so-called kindness, be kind to everyone. But real kindness is to give guidance in spiritual life. I know my son was giving me a hard time. He said, oh, you're going so far. We're going to miss you from being here. I hope he's not here, and I hope he's not watching this. And naturally, we have our duties and responsibilities, but we have our duty to Prabhupada. And also, this life is very short. I was just thinking, and I told Lakshmi Nisringa Prabhu the other day, that imagine you're drowning in an ocean. You fell off the boat, and you're drowning, and somehow or other, you're about ready to die, and you pop your head up in the ocean, and there's a life preserver there. By chance, there's a life preserver. And what is that life preserver? It says Srila Prabhupada there, you know, seeing us struggling in this ocean of birth and death, struggling, life after life from the higher planets to the lower planets in various forms of life. Now we have a human form of life. You think, well, it's by chance. If you think how intricate actually the body is, you know, the bodies of so many animals, but the human form of life is a gift, a very rare gift. And if I, again, for the billionth in one time, get entrapped by thinking that I'll be happy simply by enjoying sense gratification, the animals are enjoying sense gratification, even though we hear it over and over again, it's still very, very difficult. Daivi he shaguna mayi mama maya duratkeya. Mamavi papajante mayame tang tarantite. I remember when I joined the temple in Miami, our temple president was Narahari there. And the first time I was going to go back home just to visit the family, he said, you can go home, but you have to learn this verse. Daivi he shaguna mayi mama maya duratkeya. Material energy is very strong and very difficult to overcome. Because the allurements of Maya are there for each and every one of us. And we're always thinking that, well, maybe this person died and this person was not successful, but I will be successful. I will be happy. What, for a few years? Then you can't see anymore, you can't hear anymore, you lose all your teeth. You can't even hold your urine you're forcibly try to go to the toilet and sometimes you don't make it. You know, you have to wear a diaper as an old person. They have those old adult diapers they have, right? So you can see that the body is falling apart, completely falling apart. But so the point is that Prabhupada came to save us. All the gurus, Krishna within the heart as Chaitya Guru is guiding us. So, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Actually, the Hare Krishna movement is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Chaitanya Nityananda. They came in this age of Kali with their representatives and devotees to give us the medicine. When you're sick, what do? You go to the doctor. And what did the doctor do? He gives you medicine. Our devotees know well about that. We have many devotees taking medicine. But in many ways, we're taking medicine for the body, and also we're taking spiritual medicine in the form of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this medicine is very, very powerful. And Lord Chaitanya, he would dance and chant and tell everyone, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Gaura Chandra Bole, Lord Chaitanya is calling us. Wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up. What do you mean, wake up? Yeah, you're not that body. You're eternal spirit soul. And this life, this family, this temporary existence, it's just temporary. And we, out of sentiment, sometimes we feel that, oh, you know, I have to just continue on. Maybe later on I can take Krishna consciousness more seriously. When I'm about 101, then I'll surrender to Krishna. That time may not ever come. You may die, walk out there and slip on a banana that a monkey threw on the ground, you know, and you break your head and die. There's accidents. Accidents happen all the time. So, we should take this opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So everyone was telling stories. So this year I was in, I went to New York for December marathon. I know many devotees went on book distribution, marathon. I heard one devotee, because he was asked to go on marathon, decided to bloop and leave. Oh no, I cannot perform this kind of austerity. That's not my nature. I know many of us, when we first started our Sankirtan activities, you know, find yourself out in the street or in a parking lot. I was in the airport for 15 years, actually, in Miami. And also we did street Sankirtan. But the Sankirtan is a yajna. It's a sacrifice. And Sankirtan means glorification of the Lord's holy name. And Srila Prabhupada took on sacrifice to give all of us Krishna consciousness by, you know, taking this extremely difficult and dangerous boat journey, ship, you know, on Jaladuta, suffering heart attacks, coming with no money, very brave, very fearless, Abhay Charan Aravinda, very fearless. And it's difficult because our ego, you don't want to approach someone or, you know, imagine you're standing around and you, hey, sir, you, yeah, come here. And they come, where are you from? Where are you coming in from? Oh, very good. Well, you know, and next thing you know, they got a book in their hand and you're giving your mantras and whatnot. Anyway, I just tell you that in New York, there was a thing that we've been doing for many, many years. And we said, now we're going to say a victory cheer for good fortune. Some of you have two people, four people, six people. And there you are in New York. Everyone's coming from all over the world thinking they can enjoy. There are 55 million tourists a year come to New York City. They can see what's in Macy's as a window or Lord & Taylor. They want to see all the newest gadgets at the new Apple store, or they go to Toys R Us or Nintendo. They want to see the new games, you know, the latest machinery to avoid thinking about Krishna. They could just completely, you know, space out with all the toys. And there's someone stopping them, and then we're going to say a cheer together. This is yoga. It's meditation. So I said together, Om, and they go Om, Jai, Nitai, Gora, together. Om Jai Nitai Gora. Again. Om Jai Nitai Gora. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Said, well, victory, peace, good fortune. I said, and generally they call in couples, so you tell a lady, I said, you're obviously the deep thinker. You tell a lady, because, you know, the whole art of Sankirtan is you insult the man and glorify the ladies, because they like that. And the men can handle it, so it's good. So I said, you get the present, a book on yoga, meditation. I said, you heard of Bhagavad Gita? It's a great Indian classic read by Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. It's a very famous literature from India. So we give him Perfection of Yoga Beyond Birth and Death. I said, you read this to him tonight. It'll purify his mind, elevate his consciousness. He needs that, you know, it's very important. And people really appreciate that. It's not just that they feel offended or they feel that you intruded on their privacy, or, you know, and they feel happy. They gave a donation. That's important too. Collect some Lakshmi for Krishna. And giving the books, and all day we're chanting Jai Nitai Gaur, Lord Chaitanya, glorifying Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. The book distribution is very, very powerful. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you have money, you print books. And these books will awaken people to the fact that they should not live like animals, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Okay, in human life, these things go on, they're regulated. But there's a point where we actually have to really go beyond the bodily activities and come to the spiritual platform. Still trying for that. Takes time, takes energy. We're all trying to work together. This sadhu sangha, mahat seva, this serving the great devotees, the Vaishnavas. And who is a great devotee? We don't know who's, you know, we can't externally judge, just like when Rahugina, Maharaj Rahugina, was being carried on a palanquin. They were short by one palanquin holder. So who they find? Judd Bharat. You know, they say, oh, this looks like a good, dumb person who can carry the king around. And because Judd Bharat, he just accepted this job of being a palanquin carrier, but he was very careful for the ants and the living entities, so he was jumping around and the whole palanquin was being shaken. The king was so angry and thought, you know, chastising all the carriers, and they said, well, we're trying, but, you know, he's not doing it properly. So King Rahugina thought he'd give him a little sauce. He started chastising Judd Bharat. Don't you know, you know, I'm the king and you're the carrier? And so the first time around, Judd Bharat didn't pay attention. Again, the same thing was happening, and the king got really angry. But when Judd Bharat explained to him that, listen, you're not that body. You're not a king. And he gave him transcendental. Once King Rahugina understood that I'm simply on the bodily platform, we're all thinking You know, here I am, I'm thinking, oh, I'm the president. I deserve this or that. Or, and someone thinks, you know, everyone needs a position, a title, or something like that. Okay, the positions are there and the titles are there only for the sake of helping us all to work as a team to spread Krishna consciousness. Obviously, I have many faults, and devotees also, you know, no one in this material world is perfect. To err is human, as they say. So we all make mistakes, and we've made the biggest mistake of taking birth in this material world and thinking that we can be happy in this world. The only real happiness comes when we can somehow or other get out of the material existence. And the way to get out of material existence is serving the devotees. We don't know, you know, I mean, we say we don't know who is who, but we're all Satchidananda, Krishna, Jivera Swarupoi, Krishna, Nitya Das. We're all eternal servants of Krishna, just different layers, different coverings, different misidentifications are there. In the process of cleansing the mind, this Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we heard the nice Shashtika prayers this morning, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, this cleansing the mirror of the mind by chanting the Lord's holy name. Well, we can't do that unless we have Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That one has to be humble. Like one devotee pointed out, one of my bad habits, and I appreciate it. I thought that this is good. Yes, you know, unless devotees are merciful and kind and tell us, Prabhu, you shouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you're right. I should become more conscientious so I can become stricter in my Krishna consciousness. Then another devotee told me a story how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada's guru, this one person kept criticizing. Devotees were so angry and so upset by this. And due to Kalakanya, one day he died. The devotee said, oh, finally, this person is dead and gone. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was feeling remorseful that he was passed away. And they said, Well, why are you showing sympathy to him? He was just an offender and always giving you such a difficult time. He said, no, he was my friend. Because one who simply just gives you false praise, they're not really, you know, that happens a lot, especially in India here. You know, like, yes, how can I serve you? But it's like, and not that we're go out of our way to be nasty. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to tell you really where to go. Anyway, we have to somehow or other use our time, our energy in Krishna's service, and we should not. I was listening to a lecture. Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and devotees were coughing. What is this? I'm hearing coughing yesterday, today. You're not taking proper care of your health. You don't have sufficient supplies. And he explained the story of Sanatan Goswami, how he was suffering from those the itches and had pus and everything. And every day Lord Chaitanya would come and embrace Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami was feeling so bad that the Lord had to, you know, embrace his body. And it was a little bit diseased at the time. And so he, in his own mind, he decided that I will leave, I will commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya said, you think this is your body? You've already dedicated your body, your energy to me. So we take initiation and we join the Krishna consciousness movement and we're trying to become devotees. So that means we've dedicated the body to the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Prabhupada, to be used in service. Like, you know, you have an itch, the hand immediately goes, it does what it's supposed to do. So we should be very active to somehow serve Prabhupada and serve in this mission. Not that we think, oh yes, ashram is pretty nice. We have good supplies. Great prasad these days. You know, it's very nice. Nice prasad. You know, come and see beautiful deities, get a little kirtan. We're in the holy dham. Life couldn't be better. Yes, it's true. Life is good. But we should also, if you're not properly engaged, maybe it's the fault of your commanders or, you know, department heads or whatever it might be. But we ourselves should be very active in hearing, reading, chanting, participating, coming to the programs, and try to follow the orders as given by Srila Prabhupada. Then let old age and disease, let old age come, whatever comes our way, we see it as Krishna's mercy to increase our devotion, our dedication. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was leaving, so he was saying goodbye to everyone, saying bye to the Pandavas, I'm going back to Dwarka, okay, things are good now. And Mother Kunti says, no, things aren't good, because now all these people died in the battle, all their sons will probably take arms and again come, and more, let the calamities, let all these disturbances come again and again, if I can always remember you. So whatever calamities are coming, it should be an impetus to remember Krishna, to try to serve Krishna. Those are some of the points here. Yeah, everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and is subjected to the threefold miseries. No matter how you twist the body around, maybe the knees are not working, we'll get you a nice comfortable chair, but it's never going to be satisfactory. It's never going to be comfortable, and we're never going to be really happy just to try to enjoy on the bodily platform. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, you ever see those rechargeable batteries? Sometimes when the battery gets down, then you plug it in, it starts charging, and then it has full power. So that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam classes are. That's what the chanting is all about, just always recharging our spiritual batteries, diminishing. Although we may be full of desire, full of wants, and our mind is always racing on how to adjust, manipulate the material energy in such a way so that, number one is taken care of. But we should know that no matter how you manipulate the three modes of material nature, there's always the sufferings of Adiatmic, Adidaivic, and Adibodhic. The sufferings from other living entities, the sufferings of nature, sometimes it's too cold, too hot, too many bugs, mosquitoes and flies. Sometimes, you sit outside to eat and the flies enjoy the meal before you even get close to it. It's like a million flies around it. So, on a positive note, the spiritual kingdom is awaiting. That we're actually meant, that the human form of life is a gift, is a tool so we can actually stop this repetition of birth and death and go back home, back to the spiritual world, where you don't have to work. You don't have to worry about the temple commander harassing you with more jobs than you're willing to accept. It really is described that it's just full of joy, full of pleasure, where you're no longer walking, you're just dancing everywhere and full of happiness. And it's not just some utopian poet's idea just to kind of, distract us from the misery of this world. Well, let's talk about something positive, a spiritual world. Spiritual world exists. It's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's there in Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's there in the holy name. In this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord incarnates in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of the holy name. And the more we can chant and hear, like in the morning we chant Vibhavari Shesha, Alaka Pravesha, and every verse is just laden with Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's dear to the gopis, Krishna, Yashoda, how he kills Kamsa, protecting the devotees, and so the Maha Mantra is like that too. We're calling out, my dear Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Hare Krishna, that I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of repeated birth and death and suffering, and engage me as one of your servants. So we should strive to become a servant of the Lord, and use our intelligence to become good servants. Understand what the Master wants before he has to tell you 100 times. The same thing. Prabhupada's telling us 100 times, 1,000 times, the same thing over and over. So we should try to carry that out to the best of our ability. And whatever disagreements and whatever difficulties we may experience, we have to somehow tolerate and overcome and understand that we're like, you know, warriors. They're fighting against the enemy. So if you're having a dispute with your fellow soldier, when the enemy's coming, you better fight together for the protection, you know, for your own protection. So Maya is there, and Maya is attacking all of us, and the false ego is also Maya. Sense gratification is Maya. And so we should use the senses and the ego for Krishna's service and Krishna's pleasure, and assist Srila Prabhupada, who is present in his teachings, present in his representatives, and his sincere followers. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyway, it's good to be back in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where you gotta get up early, chant the holy name, and participate in the kirtan, and try to stay busy in Krishna's work. So anyone have any questions? Comments? If we stay silent long enough, someone will raise their hand. Am I missing? Does that mean everyone is convinced, or I just didn't make any sense what I said? Why don't you ask a question? Get me off the hook here. I got 2 minutes. My friend Panchatattva, he's always there to give me, you know.
Everything you say is very nice.
Everything I said was very nice, okay. It's difficult because we have to deal with the mind. We have to deal with devotees who have conflicting ideas of what devotional service is.
And because of this, we tend to say, "Oh, I can't deal with this because my mind is doing this to me, or that person is doing this to me, or I can't get along with that."
And then sometimes we just say, I can't do this because my mind is disturbing me, or I don't get along with this person or that person.
So this is where the rubber meets the road, you know, and we have to deal with the everyday frictions of life and the struggles that one deals with. So what should be your meditation at those moments so that you can turn it in your favor?
So during these difficult times when we have all these challenges from the mind and other living entities, what do we do to, you know, keep the positive attitude and keep going forward without thinking that no one's cooperating, everyone's criticizing, and the mind is disturbing? Because, you know, stay in the association of devotees. Prabhupada will often say that sometimes the waters will get rough and things are not exactly the way we want them to be. But what do? You don't jump off the boat into a much more turbulent ocean. You stay on the boat and things may actually settle down. So although we have disturbances that come regularly and irritations and, you know, distractions, stay in the association of devotees. Continue taking the medicine. Sometimes if one prematurely gives up taking their medicine, they get a relapse. The disease comes back. So we don't want the disease of the material, our material existence to come back. And what does that mean? Born again. And then, who knows if in the next life you have another opportunity to take up this Krishna. Although it says that you take up where you left off, but we don't know the circumstances. Now, Prabhupada was just here. Devotees are here. Krishna consciousness is just blossoming and developing. So let's use our time and energy to somehow or other help spread Krishna consciousness. And if things are turbulent, keep chanting, keep taking the medicine. And as we get older, the senses get weaker, and hopefully the the mind becomes purified and the transcendental intelligence kicks in and we actually feel enlivened to be a part of the Krishna consciousness movement. Right. Yeah. But Srivas Thakur was being criticized. Was it Srivas that they were saying was a Kali worshipper? Huh? And he said, yes, look at this. That's my, I mean, not that we are proud that, of our shortcomings and when people point them out, we should not see that, oh, this person's my enemy because, unless everyone has their karma to deal with and, somehow or other, if we can, be kind and stay in the association of devotees, I think we'll get past our troubles and be fortunate enough to stay here in Sri Vrindavan Dham and leave, go back home. We've seen many devotees; they were very fixed, very dedicated on serving Radha Shyamasundar, Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gaurinitai, Srila Prabhupada, and they left their mortal body in this. In this holy Dhamma Sri Vrindavan, and you could see that this is the achieving the goal of life. That yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he'll attain without fail. So our life's mission is to fix our mind and our consciousness to be at the point where we'll remember Krishna at the time of death. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.